Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder E1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Keep your eyes off some app and on the road. Hear what's ahead. Traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Looks like we're in a race for the wild card. Mike Snyder with the Indians update and the Browns 2 in about 3. It's 5:12. Scott Scooter, East producer extraordinaire alongside. Indians smashing the White Sox last night. You got the highlights up there, right?
Correct. And just in case you didn't hear it or see it, you can click on that video and get the shortened version of it.
We'll talk to aviation expert Jay Ratliff at 6:20 about Dorian and the little horse that was aboard the flight.
Yeah, Flirty. Yeah, Flirty the horse. He followed a traveler on American Airlines.
This emotional stuff is getting out of
here. I know. I mean, come on. What, are we going to start bringing circus pets here, too?
It's a little miniature horse on the flight.
Yes.
What would you do if you looked over and there's a little horse on your plane?
And they ask him, hey, man, where are you racing this weekend?
Come on. I don't know. Anyway, all right, so that's up there. A lot of people are chiming in on that. You can post at the Wilson Center Facebook page. And then, of course, we have video. Everybody's got a phone nowadays. This is a Whataburger in Texas?
Yeah, Bastrop, Texas. A rodent was at the Whataburger, and here we go. Listen to this.
So they see the...
Shut it down, Mike. All right, y'all. Whoever paid for their food will get your money back.
Yeah. I'd hope so.
Please do.
Right, here we go.
This is good. Ready for trying to catch this rat. Shit over work here. Oh, went in the green.
That
hole is fried.
Oh, no, fried. There's a play-by-play. Rat jumped in the fryer.
In the grease.
It's fried now.
He got some fried rat there, boy.
Oh. We got fried rat.
Wait till you see. Well, she went to some lady, I guess, it didn't even work to her. She went behind the counter. She goes to move the little lettuce trays and the pickle stuff. And she's moving some metal cans, tin stuff. Next thing you know, he's running in and out. And all of a sudden, he tries to get away from her. He jumps. He doesn't know the grease is there. And he just plop, just like he's going in a pool. Oh. Just hits it and goes. And then you read the article. It says, well, how do you know when you get him? He said, he'll rise to the top. Once he fried, he'll rise to the top. So that's how they got him out. So
you think that's funny, don't you?
I think it's great.
Wilson Snyder Facebook. At least 5 dead on one of those islands in the Bahamas. The devastation, unbelievable, with Hurricane Dorian. We'll get the latest from Bill Zimper coming up in 5. Plus, on this Tech Tuesday, we're already at war with Iran. They're calling it a cyber war. Brad Garrett will explain. 5:15, you get sports mornings 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Here's Mike Snyder.
Good morning, Bill. After that lost weekend in Tampa, the Indians back home and the home cooking, and the reeling White Sox provided the right tonic for the Tribe to get back into the win column.
Swung on, ripped up the alley in deep left center field. This ball's off the wall. That'll score Lindor. Here comes Puig. Luplo's right behind him. It's a 3-run double for Franmil Reyes.
Franmil getting it done. That was the big hit on the night. The Tribe also got home runs in the game from Jake Bowers and Carlos Santana, and they go on and defeat the White Sox 11-3 in the ball game. Aaron Civale went 5 innings to get the win. Indians snapped a 3-game losing streak while lengthening the White Sox losing streak now to 7. They'll try to make it 8 tonight behind Mike Clevinger. It's a 7-10 start. Of course, you can hear it right here. Indians 5.5 back of the Twins, but 6 in the loss column, but they do hold the second wild card spot at the moment by a game over the A's. Tampa right now would host a wild card game. Boy, that 3-game sweep down in Tampa, that was really put the Tribe behind the 8-ball here. Jason Kipnis has tendonitis in his wrist and could return to the lineup tomorrow, so that is actually some promising news that it's no more than that, and he was already feeling better yesterday. The Browns were on the practice field yesterday. They get ready to take on the Titans on Sunday. The season can can't get here soon enough. And one of the eyebrow-raising moves, the Browns' final roster call was the decision to go with the native of Scotland, Jamie Gillen, as the team's punter over veteran Britton Colquitt, who was a Pro Bowl alternate last year. On the Scottish Hammer, Freddie Kitchen says,
"Yeah, I mean, the upside is tremendous on him. I think you saw that during the course of the thing. Now we're just working on consistency on the everyday thing. But we think he can get there. That's why he's here."
Obviously, Gillen, quite a story, and the Browns go into this season with the high expectations with rookie kickers, and Gillen as the punter and Austin Seibert as the place kicker. Browns-Titans Sunday at 1. NFL season starts Thursday night. Bears and Packers. Former Browns quarterback Brian Hoyer, who was let go by the Patriots, has landed with the Colts. He will back up Jacoby Brissett. College football last night.
Ian Book from the shotgun. Claps for the ball. Play action. Drops straight back over the middle. Has Tommy Tremble at the 2. Touchdown, Notre Dame!
Notre Dame, after a slow start, rallied and took care of Louisville 35-17. Ohio State with an interesting game coming up this Saturday when the Buckeyes will host former Buckeye coach Luke Fickell's Cincinnati Bearcats. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAU.
Amazing pictures, some video, the destruction of the Bahamas.
We know that there are a number of people in Grand Bahama who are in serious distress. We will provide relief and assistance as soon as possible. The initial reports from Abaco is that the devastation is unprecedented and extensive.
Get out now while you have time, while there's fuel available, and you'll be safe on the roads.
That was the governor of Florida on what's coming, also the prime minister of the Bahamas on what they are experiencing and have been for the last few days. Bill Zempfer this morning. Boy, this thing is moving slow, isn't it?
Yeah, according to the latest report, Bill, it is still nearly stationary right over the Bahamas. So this has been just an incredible ordeal for that island chain, as we heard their governor there talk about. They've been basically experiencing what is equal to about an EF4 tornado for over 30 hours now. So it is just an incredible beating that the Bahamas are taking. 5 are dead there. Thousands and thousands of homes have been destroyed, completely destroyed on those islands. So they have been going through a terrible ordeal. Now, what's going to happen next? Well, this has been such an unpredictable storm. The latest information we have from the National Hurricane Center, Bill, says it is expected to kind of mirror the coastline, remaining about 100 miles off the coast of Florida. Right now, it's in between West Palm Beach and Stuart, Florida, about 100 miles, the eye of the storm. It's expected to mirror the coastline all the way up the Florida coast and then gradually turn to the north and northeast, again mirroring the coastline up past Georgia and South Carolina, perhaps making a landfall in North Carolina later this week. And you have to remember, a week ago, first of all, we weren't even sure this was going to be much of a tornado, or much of a hurricane, rather, maybe a Category 1 before it dissipated. And we thought the track was going to take it straight across the midsection of Florida, maybe into the Gulf of Mexico. This has really surprised a lot of people. Of course, it ended up hitting the Bahamas, Bill, as the strongest Atlantic hurricane on record. Right now, we have hurricane warnings and watches in effect for over 500 miles of coastline from South Florida all the way up to South Carolina, and mandatory evacuations as well. This is a mean one.
Bill Zempfer on Dorian this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
The Volusia County Sheriff's Department, that's basically Daytona Beach, if you're that familiar with Florida. They arrested two men for stealing sandbags yesterday, allegedly stealing sandbags off a road construction site in Daytona Beach. First arrest as far as any looting or anything like that with Hurricane Dorian as they prepare up and down the Florida coast. President Trump getting, we're told, hourly updates on progress as far as preparations and help for the Bahamas as well when it comes to Dorian. That's your update on News Radio, WTAM 1100. 525, this Bill Wills, Tech Tuesday. Could we already be at war with Iran in cyberspace? Brad Garrett this morning with me on that. United States was able to wipe out a critical database used by Iran's parliamentary arm of pilots attacking these oil tankers. This story's been going on for a while in the Strait. Brad, set this up here for me as far as what's going on.
Okay, so you know the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, they are the ones that are sort of the major defense for Iran. they are the ones that have been disrupting oil tankers, you know, in the straits off the coast of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also the ones that are responsible, apparently, for shooting down one of our drones recently. So, you know, the president had originally talked about launching a, you know, a controlled or measured physical attack against certain installations. But he backed off of that and decided to have the cyber command actually do a cyber attack where they went in and disrupted and or destroyed the, you know, basically the computer systems that control the movements of ships, for example. So in other words, their ability now or their inability to sort of monitor where tankers might be in the strait, at least temporarily. And so, you know, it's considered, Bill, a measured response. In other words, you know, it wasn't a huge attack, but it was big enough that it sent a message that if you're going to do this kind of stuff, there's a price.
Now, these are things we know about. You know, it's always interesting to me on what we don't know about, in, especially in this area. I mean, military action you see. You talk about cyber warfare. You don't see it, but a country can experience it, of course, right?
Of course. It's kind of like a shadow war, basically, where you physically don't see it. Sometimes you're not even sure where it came from. And, you know, the problem, Bill, is that obviously other countries are doing this. We've had multiple discussions about Russia's penetration into systems here.
Right.
And the idea that, for example, have, and there's some belief the answer is yes, have the Russian/Chinese able to penetrate our electric grid, and could they shut it down collectively at some point? The answer is possibly. Now, those kind of attacks, even they wouldn't do unless things really got, you know, out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
But having the ability to do that. Now, are we doing the same thing? Of course we are, because that's the playing field today in quote unquote, you know, going after adversaries. See more of it as time goes on.
Interesting follow up. Crime terrorism analyst Brad Garrett. Brad, thanks much.
Take care, Bill.
Some of the two-way traffic back and forth from this dive boat and the U.S. Coast Guard. Michael Bauer joins us on this story this morning. It's dark, you're asleep, you're below the deck, and all of a sudden there's a fire. It's a strange atmosphere. It's just a horrible story, Michael.
It is, and it could be a design flaw in the boat itself that may make a difference here, Bill, in regards to people having access to be able to get out. Now, what we are hearing this morning is reports out of Southern California say 25 bodies have been recovered after the diving boat was on fire for a weekend trip. It was destroyed by fire off the California coast. Now, the Coast Guard says there were 39 people on board the vessel. 9 people are missing at this point. So they're going into recovery mode to try to see if they can find those bodies again this morning after the search was called off yesterday in the later hours. Now, what started this fire, that's the part we don't know. We do know it started in the early hours of yesterday. There was a call, as you heard there, 3:30 a.m., indicating at that point that the boat was engulfed in flames. Reports suggested some passengers could have been trapped below deck because of the design here. Now, those who escaped the fire, we know there were 5 crew members, may have been sleeping in the main cabin or above where the galley area was. And the way it would be set up from top to bottom would seem to indicate that you would have at least at this point, the main cabin, you would have the galley immediately underneath that, and then you would have the part where the passengers would have been sleeping down below deck. And at this point, again, the question seems to be, what's the escape route? If there was a fire, at this point, it looks like there's one escape route from down below that takes you up through the galley. So if there was a fire in the galley, it would make sense you would not be able to escape. And if there was a fire in the galley, maybe you are suffering from smoke inhalation as well. Maybe that prevents you from escape. So while they're still trying to figure out what's going on and whether or not there was a fire that happened in the galley in the kitchen area, that could be a reason, and this design flaw, that people were not able to get out from underneath the lower deck and get themselves up to safety.
Yeah, great points. Probably down the road to redesign something like that.
Absolutely.
More answers for questions, and of course the search continues. Michael Bauer this morning on it. Michael, thank you.
And now, 5 good minutes.
One of our favorite people to talk with is Greg Stebbin, writes on tech, culture, so many things, and follow him on Twitter and the podcast he does through Forbes. Hi, Greg. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
You're always noticing things, which is why I love talking to you. I mean, technology is a part of life. There's an app for everything. I can schedule a rental car. I can schedule a flight. I can do a hotel. Everything in the palm of my hand. In Japan, though, you're telling me they're renting cars, but they're not driving them?
Yes, it's a very odd thing. And let me explain, first of all, what's happening here is not a traditional car rental, but what's called car sharing. And we have services like this here in the U.S. I think the best known one is called Zipcar. And what happens is you have the Zipcar app on your phone. You need a car for an hour or two. So it's not an overnight traditional car rental, but I need a car for a couple of hours. I pull out the app. It tells me where there's a car nearby. It might be at a service station or in a garage, but there are in larger cities, they're everywhere. And in towns with colleges and universities, they're all over the college. And so I can rent the car for $8 or $10 an hour. And I can just rent it for an hour, or I can rent it for an hour or two or three. And what's happening in Japan is people are renting these cars by the hour at a very low price, and they're literally never moving them. So why would you do that?
That's what I'm going to ask you, Greg. Why?
So it turns out it's actually a very interesting and innovative answer.
Okay.
You know, when you're away from home, sometimes the logistics can get the better of you. Like, I've got too much stuff to carry. I've got to get from here to here and here to here and then back to here.
Right.
And why should I carry all this stuff?
Right.
When I could just rent a car for $8 an hour, open the trunk, put all that stuff in the trunk, and I'll come back and get the stuff later.
It's like a little portable storage. It's storage. Yeah, it's a storage locker I can drive.
It's not a car. It's a storage locker. Oh, you know what? I've got this long day. I can't get home to take a nap, or I've worked all day, and then I'm going out tonight, but right. I really need a nap. I don't want to rent a hotel all night, and that's expensive.
Okay, but now, hold on. This is Japan. They go to school year-round. I mean, they do different things. Could you see this, I mean, common practice in our culture in this country?
Well, I have to tell you, I read this article and started laughing because I've done it myself.
Really?
I'll give you an example.
All right.
So this sounds like car rental, and I actually drove the car.
Yeah.
But I used the car for something other than it was intended for.
Okay.
I used it as a rainy day dog taxi. I was in New York City. I had my dog with me, and I knew that I could not get home. It was late at night, and I knew the dog would not walk in the rain.
Right.
It was a sick dog.
Yeah.
And a real sweet dog, well-behaved.
Yeah.
And I knew that I could not get a cab, because once you go down to the street in New York and you have a dog with you in the rain,
they just drive
by. They don't want a wet dog in the cab.
Right.
And I don't blame them.
Right.
And I was at a friend's office, and I was going to sleep there because I couldn't get home with the dog. And all of a sudden, I thought, there's a Zipcar across the street. I'll carry the dog to the car so that his feet wouldn't be dirty, put him in the car, drive him home. Then once I took him upstairs to the apartment, drive back, because you have to return the car to where you got it.
Right.
And then I would walk home. So I used it as a rainy day dog taxi.
I mean, there's an app for everything. I mean, think about technology and how you can use it, right?
Right, and so in Japan, they did a survey to find out why people were using these cars. And it's crowded in cities like Tokyo, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people said, I just want to eat lunch by myself.
I want a quiet place. I'm going to rent a car.
I want a quiet place. Or I'm between places and I need a workplace. I need a nap. One person said, you know what? I use the car to practice rapping. Rapping, you know, not gift wrapping, but music wrapping. Right, but the real point is, and I think technology enables this, all of a sudden you can transform a car from a car to an actual private space that you could do all kinds of things in. And to get to your question, I do think people will start to do this here. Where these car services that are available at $8 an hour, there's a lot of ways you could use that car without ever driving it. That would solve a lot of problems that you could never solve for that little bit of money.
You know, in my mind, I plug for Lincoln. I see those Navigator commercials with Serena Williams. It's raining, and she just turns the music on and just relaxes. I could rent a Lincoln for an hour and sit in a Navigator. I'll call you sometime. We'll do it together and just have a little guy time and relax, okay?
Well, and in fact, one of the answers they got to the survey was, I needed a place to go and make a phone call. It's a phone booth.
I'll use it as a studio maybe sometime, too.
And you could use it. You know what? I could lie to you and say I was in one of these cars right now, and I'm using it as a studio.
I would believe it. All right, Greg Stebbins. Follow him on Twitter, @GregStebbins. Always fun stuff in his world. Thanks, pal.
You bet. It's great to be here.
The Scary Clowns are back. Entertainment news this morning. Here's Jason Nathanson.
We didn't stop it.
The cast of It Chapter 2 is ready to scare you this weekend, but what scares them? At the UK premiere, star Jessica Chastain talked about that.
What scares me is a bully. Yeah, and this film has a lot of them, and it shows what can happen when people come together and group up to defeat the bullies.
It Chapter 2 is in theaters Thursday night, and it could break $100 million this weekend, which the box office sorely needs. Kevin Hart's wife says the comedian is going to be just fine after a pretty horrific weekend car crash. She gave TMZ the good news as she was leaving the hospital Monday. Hart was a passenger in his 1970 Plymouth Barracuda when it rolled off a Los Angeles canyon early Sunday morning. Harvey Weinstein and his alleged abuse of women gets the documentary treatment with a new film out today on Hulu called Untouchable. And happy birthday to Charlie Sheen. The actor turns 53 today, while Redfoo from LMFAO is 44. Jason Nathanson, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. If you miss an interview, find it later on the Wills and Snyder Daily Podcast on WTAM.com or on our iHeartRadio app.
Best Browns coverage, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, Sports Writer of the Year. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Great piece on Dorsey. You've written several recently about this roster. I mean, even over the weekend, maybe some surprises going with rookies to kick and punt. But overall, the roster to start Sunday versus last year, he flipped all, he almost flipped the whole thing, didn't he?
He really has. If you go all the way back to when he got the job, December of 2017, so that's what, a year and 9 months ago or whatnot, only nine guys are left. Nine.
And
they're still not over there yet.
Right. They're still making moves. Well, when you think of where they were, you know, that's the other thing, Terry. You think about this team going into last year. Well, you'd had that draft, and you knew you had some good young talent coming in. This is still a team that was coming off of 1-31 for 2 years. To fix every ill is almost impossible. So there are some areas of concern about this team going into the new season.
Exactly. I mean, there's reason to be worried about the offensive line because you want to keep your quarterback upright. But a year ago at this time, there still was a lot of, well, when is Baker Mayfield going to be ready? How good will he be? The nice thing is we've had other general managers come in here and turn the roster upside down. But when they got it right side up, they still didn't have a quarterback, so you still were upside down. And once you do have the quarterback, then the other moves, it's just so much easier to build around it. And so that was the one big thing that Dorsey was able to do. When you get the quarterback right, then it's kind of like, you know, if you have a roof that always, the minute it rains, it pours into your house. If you don't get the roof right, you know, you're in big trouble. Well, they've got the roof right.
Yeah, things seem to fall in place when you have that quarterback. Were you a little surprised, though, at the unsettledness in terms of the fourth and fifth receivers, Terry?
Well, they didn't like any of them.
Yeah.
They liked that DJ Montgomery, and then he ended up getting hurt after the third game. Callaway gets himself suspended. They liked Ratley some, but he couldn't get healthy until the end. You know, he's still on the roster. So I think that's why they went shopping for some of these other guys, and they feel that you can find somebody out there, and because of Mayfield, and they'll come in here and play, you know, better than he did elsewhere. You know, Rashard Perryman was the guy a year ago. I thought perhaps Braxton Miller was going to be that kind of guy this time, but I guess they're shopping for these other people. But that, you know, again, that's the thing. I think, well, a receiver that wasn't all like this somewhere else, we got a better quarterback. He'll look pretty good here if we get the right guy in here.
Terry, let's switch over to the Tribe as they get into September. Rough weekend in Tampa. Today they're 5.5 back of the Twins, but they do hold the second wild card spot. Your thoughts on them?
I was down there yesterday, and it was really neat to see Carlos Carrasco talk about all he's come through and come back. Everything's been subtraction for them for so long in terms of this good player's gone, that good player's gone. It was nice to see some addition. But then, you know, they bring up, well, Jason Kipnis has a tendonitis in his wrist. Then we think he'll be fine in a couple of days. Well, I mean, maybe yes, maybe no. I still don't know actually how they are at this point. Were they 23 games above 500 and still in contention?
somebody has to get really hot for them.
They need
whether
somebody.
It's Puig or Reyes or somebody has to win some games for them with that bat. That's what they're missing, too.
Yeah, Hammy made that point yesterday. Boy, of all the games to see, you saw a long one yesterday and a lot of... I mean, I hate to say you went 11-3 in some bad baseball, but there was...
It was
baseball, right?
This is bad, you know, the old winning ugly, which is good, but my goodness, we looked up in the third inning and I think, you know, it was Wednesday.
I think Pluto or Terry Francona said, look... Don't forget we won.
Yeah.
You know, we got here with a win.
It was easy to kind of forget that. Yeah. I mean, even Hammy's final call was like, gosh, it's over finally.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Great follow on Twitter, at Terry Pluto. We'll connect again Friday morning. Best Browns coverage. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, guys.
Fred Greetham later at 7:50 this morning. It all starts Sunday. Browns, Tennessee Titans. Hey, be listening at 8:15. You saw him.
I did.
This summer.
Yes.
And
back in May.
They'll be at Blossom.
Oh, they're sounding good.
In about a week, The Who. Listen at 8:15. I'll set you up with a pair of tickets.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deck don't like it. Sure plays him.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. I try throughout the morning to create content, things that you need and want to hear, maybe news, weather, sports, traffic, right? Little stories and interviews. Okay. Well, with that in mind, if you will, let's talk about content and how it's going to play out in our city for the next few days. Kathy McPhillips is the vice president of marketing for what has been really become a world event. I hope I'm not overstating that. It's our Content Marketing World 2019 that cranks up today in our town. Kathy, first of all, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. This is exciting.
Before we talk about, and I want to get some takes and thoughts from you about content, but let's talk about this event and the city of Cleveland, because this has really grown over the years, and it's really a big event with people coming in this week, right?
It is. We're expecting about 4,000. We just eclipsed 50 countries and 49 states. If we can just get someone from Alaska to sign up, I'd be really happy.
We'd cover them all then, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about content marketing. It really started with a guy, you know, I remember when Joe called, 10, 11, 12 years ago, putting this thing on the first time, he kind of wondered how many people would show up. And from that, it has really grown, right?
It has. So in 2011... Joe was hoping to get 100 people to come to Cleveland to do this Content Marketing World event, and 660 showed up, and every year it's grown, and you know we're up to 4,000 right now, so it's fantastic.
Okay, for somebody that's in the business when it comes to sales or marketing or business, let me go back to the basics a little bit, because I always want to hear what other people think of what we're doing, so let me just ask you, content marketing means what to Kathy McPhillips?
So content marketing is creating valuable, consistent, relevant content for your customers, for your audience, ultimately to get them to drive profitable action, to buy something, to use your product, to use your service. It's not talking about yourself. It's talking about how you can help your customers.
And you can touch your customer in so many different ways nowadays, can't you?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many ways. You know, podcasts, social media, blog, website, video, audio. There's so much. It grows every year.
Kathy, the conference the next couple of days, give me a few ideas about themes and meetings. You got a lot of great speakers as well, right?
We do. We have almost 300 speakers this year. So we have 14 concurrent tracks throughout the days, because whether you're in demand generation or social media or video or sales or any of these different things, you can really take this 4,000-person event and really focus on what you want and make it this intimate event just for you. So it is nice that whether you're beginner, advanced, or like I said, depending on what you're doing in marketing, you really can focus on sessions created that you can say, okay, I know I'm working on analytics. I can go to the sessions just focusing on that. Or you can mix and match. It really doesn't matter. So we do really focus on all aspects of content marketing and of marketing, and they're kind of getting synonymous. You know, they're paid advertising and content marketing work well together. So it's been really cool to see it evolve over the years.
Well, with that in mind, you know, sometimes you're so close to it, you can't see it. I know I'm seeing more and more ads within content, whether it's, you know, newspapers or magazines or online features that are there. The line, you know, on the business side can be blurred just a bit, but for the receiver of the information, there's truly some amazing opportunities out there right now to get your message out, right?
And sometimes times you don't know if what you're seeing is an ad or if what you're seeing is an article or what you're seeing is content. You know, so there, we try to be very forthcoming and saying, you know, this is sponsored content and things like that, just so the customer knows we're not being deceiving. But there's so much overlap right now.
Hey, Kathy, finally, look, you don't have to be a Sherwin-Williams or a Cleveland Clinic to do content marketing. I mean, depending on your company and what product you're offering, really almost any size, there's a way to increase your presence, right?
There is. I mean, that's how the Content Marketing Institute started. You know, until I started in 2013, so for 2 years, all Joe did was content marketing to build his company. So, you know, companies have these great, amazing stories and, you know, just the history of their story, or they could answer some product questions that their customers might have. And that's all free. You know, it does take time. It does take having a website and things like that, but it really is a great way to start growing a business and growing an audience to build your sale.
Now, what Joe Paluzzi set out with this thing the first year, it's amazing what it's grown to this week. Okay, now, finally, just to follow up, find out more, you may not be involved in the conference, but you want to learn more to improve yourself, maybe your sales, your business. Really, the content marketing website's got a lot of great tools, right?
It does. ContentMarketingWorld.com, and registration is still going on. You can walk in today to the convention center and sign up. So that's about it.
Kathy McPhillips, this has not been a paid ad, but it's been very good content. I appreciate your time, and good luck with the conference this week, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Wills and Snyder Universe with expanded interviews. Hear the Wills and Snyder Showgram podcast on our free iHeartRadio app.
Our chat with Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com will be out there for you. Terry's take on the moves that John Dorsey has made, pretty much flipping that whole roster. Best Browns coverage now. Fred Greatham checks in all week at 7:50 all season long. We're talking Browns. Fred this morning for UFG Insurance, Browns analyst Orange and Brown Report. And, of course, you catch him on the pregame and postgame shows. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Fred, are we ready for game one?
Hey, I think so. I mean, I think the fans are. I think everybody is. This has been, a long preseason, long training camp. Everybody's ready to see what they got.
Mike, over the weekend, main surprise they go with rookies to kick and punt?
Well, I think it was a bit of a surprise that they went with Gillen over Colquitt. What are your thoughts about that, Fred?
Well, I do. I liked pretty much all the moves Dorsey's made. Really can't question even this, but I was surprised to go in with two rookies. I mean, Gillen, you know, there's no question his raw ability, but Colquitt did the holding on field goals, and I don't think the last thing you want is a guy to fumble a snap, you know, and lose a game, not because the kicker missed it, but because the snapper or the holder couldn't get it down. But I think, you know, they'll sort that out. If they don't feel comfortable, probably go with Drew Stanton or Garrett Gilbert holding. But, yeah, I think that they just felt like they didn't want to lose him, but I do think they could miss the consistency. Colquitt was an alternate Pro Bowler last year. But when it's all said and done, it's the punter. If that's the worst thing we're talking about is the punter, hey, let's go for it.
And Dorsey's calls have been pretty much on target since he's been here. The offensive line, though, just indicating by their moves that they made after the cutdown day that they aren't just comfortable yet with what they have up front. Your thoughts about that, Fred?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got Odell Beckham in the trade for Kevin Zeitler, but the right guard doesn't seem to be too easy to replace. They've tried four different guys, have worked with the first team at right guard. Eric Cush seemed to be settling in, but he wasn't getting the biggest endorsement from the coach. And, you know, and they went and got two more guards. So now you got a rotation. You know, I think they're going to be looking hard at Wyatt Teller. Justin McCray will be some depth, but I think Teller, I don't know if he'll start this week, but I think he's going to be see what he can do. Sooner and later, he might even get in a little this week. But I think Cush will start this week. But then who knows beyond that with the Monday night game the following week.
Fred, this game really can't get here quickly enough, can it? We just want to see Baker and Beckham and Landry. We really didn't see much in the preseason. In fact, across the board in the NFL, it seems like all the teams are holding their stars out. But just to see this all this group together, I really can't wait for this thing to begin.
Yeah, I mean, saw a taste the first preseason game, but only a series without some of those guys. But Baker looked really good, and the last time he played, he didn't really look so good. But the defense, what I'm excited to see, when that one series or two where they were together, they were just all over the Buccaneers. And, you know, I think the key is under the radar. If that defense can shut down teams and shave a few points off from what they allowed last year, they have a good chance to win a lot of games. So it should be exciting to see them all out on the field. They're all expected to be ready to go this week.
Best Browns coverage, Fred Greatham. Follow him on Twitter, at Fred Greatham. Browns Update this morning brought to you by UFG Insurance. See more about the GM Dorsey explaining the flip of the roster at the Browns page at WTAM.com, keyword Browns. Best Browns coverage. Fred, thanks, pal.
All right, guys.
Hey, tomorrow morning, this time, we connected with him last year, Ricky Stanzi, quarterback out of Iowa, of course, at Mentor and Lake Catholic. Very impressed on his take last year on the Browns, so he'll join us this year every Wednesday at 7:50.
Be great to get his insight as we watch Baker and as a quarterback kind of analyzing what's going on there. Should be a lot of fun to have him with us.
Bernie, Josh Cribbs, Dave Willimon, more Best Browns coverage each morning, 7:50 here on News Radio, WTAM 1100. A tool to help when it comes to finding photos. We've got an app for that now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, for most people, these apps are already on their phone. You know, and just like you said, you know, for a lot of people, especially the younger people, you know, 10,000 photos on their phone is wouldn't be surprising.
Right.
Especially as the storage increases on those phones.
So, but how do you find the phone, the photo you're looking for?
The great thing is that really the photo apps are starting to learn how to scan those photos and basically make them searchable by just a word search. Probably the best one out there is going to be the Google's Photos app. So obviously for most Android users, this is going to be something that they are familiar with. But even if you have an iPhone, I do recommend installing the Google Photos app. It's a great way to have it back up the photos on your phone to that free online Google Photo storage with your Google account. But what you do is you go ahead and just open up the Google's Photos app.
All right.
Tap on the search bar at the top and just type what you're looking for. So, for example, you can type dog and that will help find that cute photo of a pup you took about 2 years ago. In fact, Google's actually working to improve the app. Their Google Lens feature, which is a thing that actually scans photos for text. What that means is that if you have a photo with, say, text in it, say you took a photo of a note or a reminder, or some people will actually take photos of products or stores that they want to visit for later, it may actually go through and recognize and make that text searchable as well.
All right, let me slow you down for just a minute. You're saying that the technology is to the point where through Google Photo app, I could just type in dog, and it'll recognize pictures of Layla or other dogs I've taken a picture of.
Yeah, it's amazing what the technology is getting to the point. You know, this is very similar to the technology if you go to the Google Images page and you type in, you know, something that you're searching for, it's going to go through the internet and find relevant photos. That's the technology that they're using to use artificial intelligence to recognize what objects are in that picture. And then create searchable terms for them.
All right, let me ask you about backup. Because this came to a little close to home a week or so ago. Mindy's got a new Mac laptop and had a little issue. And went back in, and the geek at the Geek Squad reminded me about backup. We've got a little thing I connect to it now, and it constantly can back up. I mention that just because you also say with photos, very important, obviously, to have those backed up as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to make sure that you're sending your backups to back up all of your important documents. And really, for a lot of people, it's mostly photos and videos that they've taken. They're going to be the most important thing on there. So, great thing about Mac OS, of course, is that you have Time Machine, which is their built-in Mac backup software.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will also go ahead and, you know, look at the online cloud storage. I know that a lot of people like programs like Backblaze, Carbonite, and Carbon Copy. There's basically you can get those. The software itself is free, but it'll pair with a paid online storage service, so it automatically backs things up in the background. Makes it very easy to recover either individual files or even your whole system if something goes wrong.
Okay, so again, back on the smartphone, as I wrap this up, if someone just started here with us, the Google Photo app is what you're talking about. That's what you should have on your smartphone.
Yeah, regardless of whether it's an Android phone or iOS device, I always recommend downloading that because, like I said, once you run it, it'll give you the option to back up your photos online to your Google account. If you do have just an iPhone, you do have some of that feature functionality built into the phone itself. The iOS Photos app also does have a search feature. So when you open that Photos app, you look to the bottom. There'll be a search icon, and again, you can type, you know, for example, if you type in graffiti, it'll bring up any buildings that it can, that it's detected, that have, graffiti on them. It'll also do things like, try to group photos by people using facial recognition, you know, any contacts that you have, that you've added photos for. So you can also add more faces, so that way it's easy to search for things like sister, husband, Tom, Mary, et cetera. So
amazing.
Really great features in there, even within the standard app as well.
The Google Photo app. All right, Agent Derek Meister, follow him on Twitter, Agent3012. Great stuff as always on tech. Thanks much, Derek. Have a good day. 8:45, we gotten a hold of Jim Rosenhaus. Total Tribe coverage on WTAM 1100. Indians Update this morning brought to you by Falls Motor City. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, Rosie.
Good morning, Bill.
We'd love to spend 4 minutes talking about the four-hour game in detail and each inning and break it 11-3. A lot of baseball and at times some sloppy ball, but as Tito said at the end of the game, remember, we won, right?
They did. It was not a classic, but when you win one of those, I think it's a lot easier on the ball club. But, yeah, that happens. A ton of walks and a ton of pitches made by both teams, more so the White Sox than the Indians. But you know what? Some key base hits. Franmil Reyes with the big double that cleared the bases early. Jake Bauer's coming through as he's just returned to the team and then has swung the bat well in very limited time. So some real positive signs. And you know what? Plenty of pitching to hold the White Sox to the three runs, even though at times it was a battle because of control issues.
Jim, the Indians have taken their shots. We know with the injuries that they've suffered this year. Tyler Naquin, that great play, and then, of course, he goes down with a knee injury. But they keep hanging in there. You mentioned Bowers, Luplo back. These guys now are going to get another chance here to help this team down the stretch, aren't they?
They are, Mike, and, you know, that's the deal all season long. Someone's gone down, and as Tito said, you know, you can do a couple of things. You can feel sorry for yourself, but the other team's not. You just got to keep playing, and it gives someone else an opportunity. So Naquin had been playing left. He goes down with a season-ending knee injury. So but 2 days later, you're back to a platoon of Bowers and Luplo, which you had earlier in the season, and it actually was working out pretty well then. And I think they're very comfortable with what they have out there in left field now. So you move on the best you can and try and make the most of it, and they've done a great job at that all season long.
I know we talked with you last week about the pending return of Carlos Carrasco, and as it played out, Jim, just some thoughts as to it looks like it's just very emotional time for everybody to have him back and pitching for this team.
Gosh, I can't imagine, Mike, anyone watching that. Certainly anyone on the field wasn't getting choked up a little bit when he came on the mound on Sunday's game. Talked to them yesterday and he said it was hard to, you know, keep from shaking before he went in, but once he started throwing, it was good and, you know, a very emotional time for him. And I think it really came back to appreciating those who have helped him through. And there have been so many people, and I know the one person he really singled out was Jason Kipnis, and I talked to Kip about it too. He said some days you just needed to call him and be there to listen because there were some tough days in there. I mean, I know it looks great now where he's come back, and he's always had that upbeat nature, but I'm sure there were some times where it was really, really tough for him. And apparently Jason Kipnis was there for him a lot, and it made a huge difference. So those types of stories, I think, come out from this whole thing, in addition to just seeing him get back and overcome something that's really challenging.
I mean, moving moment with the applause and the standing ovation, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Clevenger tonight. Now, riddle me this, Batman. It as of right now, looks like the best way to postseason is the wild card.
Well, it looks like, barring a complete collapse by the Twins and the Indians basically winning all six games, it's going to be tough to win the division, so I think you need to focus on that wild card right now, Jim.
Well, I mean, they're focusing on trying to win as many games as they can.
Right.
And, yeah, I think they're still trying to pursue the division. You still have the six games, and there's still a lot of baseball left. And if you play well enough and even come up a little bit short in the division but play well enough, the wild card will take care of itself. So I think that's kind of how they approach it. So there's a couple of avenues to get in, and that's a good thing.
So it's like in golf.
If you're putting for a birdie, at least get the ball there, right? You don't want to be short. You never know what might happen.
That's right.
Is that about?
Well, you'll certainly, huh? you'll certainly take the business from the people you're playing with if you leave it short, right?
Jim Rosenhaus on the Tribe this morning. Never leaves him short. Rosie, thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
7:10 first pitch tonight. I mean, the math is one thing, but as of today, us, Oakland, and Tampa Bay all have 58 losses.
Right.
Technically.
Yeah, right, they do.
Technically.
They do. So it's just a matter of number of games played that's separating them. And, you know, those three losses in Tampa, boy, if they could have got one.
Yeah.
So now, you know, as Jim said, you're still in the division.
Yeah.
But if you look at it realistically with the Twins' schedule, their last 10 games are against the Royals and Tigers. So you not only need to sweep them, but you need probably a lead. Because I think they've got the Phillies, the Nationals. They've got some tough games in that last week. So, yeah, as Jim said, you just think about winning as many games as you can, and if you get the wild card, look, in the National League, you've got the Cubs, you've got the Nationals, the Phillies, they're fighting just to get that one spot. Now, it's not ideal, but if you win that one game, you're in a series. And that's the way you've got to look at it. Embrace that opportunity. And with a guy like Clevinger or Bieber, Bill, you got a shot.
Beat who you play, and you play the White Sox tonight. 7:10 first pitch. Total Tribe coverage. By the way, the Indians fan fact answer, Franmil Reyes, was born in the Dominican, signed as international free agent with the Padres in 2011, made his Major League debut in 2018. You have been thinking about the dentist, and when you think about